Amen. Thank you for your good singing tonight. Thank you, musicians, for helping us. I'm glad you're here for the service tonight. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew chapter 14. You'll find your place there. We will look into God's Word tonight and ask Him to speak to our hearts. Matthew chapter 14. We'll look at a couple of verses over in Mark chapter 6 as we go along, but we'll start out Matthew chapter 14. Familiar story to us, one that we have heard many times and many of you have read many times. We've heard probably a number of different messages and applications, and I want to just try to encourage you a little bit tonight. And so, if you'll begin reading with me, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrains His disciples to get into a ship and go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, Come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. Thank You for this episode, story, situation in the life of our Lord and in the life of the disciples that You've shared with us. Some intimate details that would help us to see into our own lives a little bit and would help us to know how to deal with some of the situations in life that we face from day to day. We pray that You would use Your Word and speak to our hearts and encourage us tonight. May we leave here more like You and closer to You and encouraged in You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I want to speak to you for a few moments on the subject, how to get through the storms with the least amount of damage. How to get through the storms with the least amount of damage. How many of you have ever had some storms in your life? A few of you have, all right. How many of you are going through a storm in your life right now? Anybody got a storm going on right now? Some of you do. Probably all of us have either been through a storm, or are going through a storm, or we got a storm coming out ahead. Amen? And so the Lord gives us some instructions of how to get through the storms with the least amount of damage. I want to share tonight, as we begin, a few personal things, and maybe be a little bit more on the illustrative side tonight, but I want you to get the picture. There are a number of reasons and a number of times when we go through storms in our life. One of those is instances in our own lives as individuals, circumstances, situations that we go through. I was thinking about a particular time in my life some years ago when we had, it seemed like in just 3 month period maybe, we had so many things that just hit us at one time. It was on that particular year, on July the 4th of that year, that Vicki was in an automobile accident. She had gone with the kids to camp down at
Fort Bluff in Dayton, Tennessee, and one of the girls had a piece of her glass, the little piece, I think, on the inside of her glasses that broke off. And so Vicki went down into town to Walmart to get a little piece of, let's try to fix the glasses for the girl. And while she was in town, she was going down the main street, and a car came through an intersection and broadsided her, hit her on the driver's side of the car, spun her car around, rolled it over, and she was not critically injured, but she was injured pretty well in that accident. There happened to be a man walking down the street who had a cell phone, and when the car stopped, it was leaning up on its side against a telephone pole, and Vicki said she was looking down at the asphalt through the broken glass, and she climbed out of the car, and this man asked her if there was somebody he could call for her, and he gave her a cell phone, let her call me. I was here. I had not gone with the kids to camp, and of course she told me what had happened, and I threw some things together and went to Dayton, and I got to the hospital at Dayton, and they said, oh, she's not here. They've taken her to the trauma center in Chattanooga. So I drove to Chattanooga, and I got there, and they said, oh, she's not here. She was released. So I drove back to Dayton, and I finally found her. They had released her and taken her back to the camp, and they had to put her in a dark room because of her. She had had a concussion, and just the light hurt her, and they tried to eliminate sound and light. And so I got her and took her to a motel, and we stayed there overnight and then drove back here the next day. And we got back here. I took her to, this was back when Jewish Hospital was over in Cincinnati. I took her over there and they ran some tests and began the process of therapy and things for her. But just a difficult time to go through. And then it seemed like just a couple days after that, we had a guest speaker, a missionary that was coming to speak. And it was on a Wednesday night, and he called at 6:50 Wednesday night. Service started at 7 o'clock. He was stuck in traffic, or his car van broke down or something in Louisville. And couldn't make it, couldn't be here. And then just a few days later, in fact, it was less than 3 weeks later, my younger brother Bill died of a heart attack, 42 years of age, had a massive heart attack. He was playing these paintball games, and he was out in the field, and the guys were going to meet back at noon, and he didn't show up. And they went to find him, and he had a massive heart attack and died that day on July the 23rd. And then about a month later, we found out that Vicki's uncle had cancer. And then we found out that my brother-in-law had cancer and had to have surgery. And just a short time after that, passed away. All of that's going on at the same time. We found out that one of the men in our church had a brain tumor and had to have surgery. And another man his dad had to have a heart valve replacement. And another man in our church at that time had to have a kidney transplant, and another had heart surgery. The one that had heart surgery had 5 bypasses on Monday, and the next Sunday he was in church. Got out of the hospital Friday and was in church on Sunday. Sat there with his little pillow. Every time he coughed, he'd hold his chest. And I said, what are you doing here? He said, I didn't want to miss church. I said, you're crazy. You shouldn't be here. But he was there. He didn't want to miss. And there's another lady in the hospital. It just seemed like in a couple of months' time, July and August, everything hit us at one time. And the storms sometimes in life can hit you, can't they? You ever hear the old saying, when it rains, it pours, doesn't it? And it seemed like that was what was going on. Sometimes, and I just share that to say that sometimes in your life, you're going to have situations and circumstances and incidents where it seems like everything hits you at one time. And you have to deal with the storms that come in your life. Sometimes the storms come from suffering. And we know very little about suffering in our day-to-day, don't we? Real suffering. I was reading some time ago a book, How to Handle Adversity, by Charles Stanley. And he said this. He said, suffering is unavoidable. It comes without warning. It takes us by surprise. It can shatter or strengthen us. It can be the source of great bitterness or abounding joy. It can be the means by which your faith is destroyed, or it can be the tool through which your faith is deepened. The outcome hinges on the nature of or source of our adversity, but on not on the nature or source of adversity, but on the character and spirit of our response. Our response to adversity will be the most important part, and will be determined by our reason for living, our purpose for being on this earth as we see it. If you're a child of God whose heart desires to see God glorified through you, adversity will not put you down for the count. There will be those initial moments of shock and confusion, but the man or woman who has God's perspective in his life and the life to come will always emerge victorious. End of quote. Sometimes the storms come because of suffering that God allows to come in our life. Maybe as a new Christian, you have family members that don't understand. Maybe somebody on the job. But sometimes there is some suffering and some persecution in our life. I read a story about the Japanese that were very cruel to the Filipino folks back in the 40s. And one man and his family hoped to escape the cruel tortures. And so he and his wife and his son and three sisters, they all left the area where they were down in the lowlands. And with about 100 of their friends, they were looking for some area to flee to for protection. And as they were coming down the mountain, they were spotted by a Japanese patrol. They were forced to dig their own grave, a shallow grave, and then to save bullets, the Japanese went down the line and bayoneted each one of them. An 11-year-old boy was bayoneted and unconscious for a day and a half. When he regained consciousness, he said he looked up through the shallow grave the dirt had been put on top of him, but he could see through the shallow grave and saw the moon. And he dug his way out of that shallow grave and then began to look for his family. He found his dad and his mom and his three sisters, but they had all been killed. He had a New Testament in his pocket that a missionary had given him. And he sat down by that shallow grave with all of the other people dead, and he began to read his New Testament. And he told God, he said, "God, if you'll spare my life, I'll give it to you." And God did spare his life. Over the next several days, he lived off of fruit that he found there on the mountain until he found some relatives. And today, the last I know of, that man was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Baguio, Philippines. 54 years later, God used him. You know what his name is? Pastor Resurrection. Pastor Resurrection. Sometimes storms come because of suffering in our life. Thank the Lord, none of us have ever had to go through anything like that. But the day may come when we will. The day may come when we'll face the persecution. Christians are facing persecution around the world right now. And we're aware of that. And some have given their lives. I was telling Sunday school class this morning, and I know we have little children in here, but I got an email from Brother Sharp. And he sent me pictures of men who were tortured in Iraq because of their faith in Jesus Christ right now. And the sacrifice that these men and women are making, giving their lives for the cause of Christ. And Brother Sharp said in Iraq and in Afghanistan and some of those countries around there, every time they have one of their pastors that gets captured and killed, he said, "We have two more that step up and say, I'll take their place." They're ready to step up. And what an amazing thing. You know, in the book of Acts, you read in chapter 8, I think it is in verse 1, that when the persecution came, they were scattered, and the Bible says they went everywhere doing what? Preaching the gospel. They went everywhere taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may be that the Lord will test our faith through suffering. But however God does it, there will be storms in our life. When the storms come in your life, remind yourself of the attributes of God. Remind yourself of the attributes of God. And I want to take just a just a very brief time and look at some of the attributes of God and how they will help us in the storms of our life. First of all, number one, in the providence of God, remember that He placed you there. In the providence of God, He put you in that storm. Look with me, if you will, in our text back in Matthew chapter 14. And look at verse 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus," notice this, "constrained His disciples to get into the ship." And then it says, "and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitude away." The disciples ended up being out in the midst of that sea, in the middle of a storm, and fearing for their life. But how did they get there? They were in that storm because God, in His providence, told them to get in the ship, and He sent them out into the midst of the storm. Amen? Many times the storms of our life are there because God has specifically placed us there in His providence. You see, God is more interested in your holiness than He is in your happiness. And sometimes He puts us in the storms to develop us. We're not always happy in the storm. But God develops us and makes us into what He wants us to be. And we have to, it's not the smooth sailing. It's not when everything's going easy, and it's not when everything is going just the way we expected that we learn and we develop and we grow. We grow when we go through the rough spots of life and the storms of life. You ever notice how when you're going through a storm, you'll be reading the Bible and a passage of Scripture, a verse, or several verses that just kind of stand out to you, just kind of reach out and grab you. And all of a sudden, you say, it's almost like, that's what that means. You get it. And God uses those verses to encourage you. Sometimes it'll be a song. You'll be singing a song. I remember one time years ago, and this has been way back, long before we even started our church here, I was going through a particular storm in my life, and there was a song that I heard. It wasn't the greatest song in the world, but it said, "Lord, to my heart, bring back the springtime." And for some reason, that song just kind of gripped my heart, and God used it to encourage me. I remember back in 2005 when my mom went home to be with the Lord. I think it was Ruth gave me a CD of I think it was a cassette. It was before the CDs were out. It was the cassette. I later got the CD of the same music. Of Michelle Leonard, one of our missionaries that we support. Michelle's husband had been killed or had passed away, died from cancer. And she recorded a number of songs on that. And I listened to those songs that she sang over and over. Songs that out of her heart of suffering, God had used. And those songs were just such an encouragement to me through that time when my mom had passed away. God will give you things that will help you through the storm. He'll encourage you. He'll strengthen you. And He'll use His Word. And He'll, by the way, make sure you're listening to the right kind of music. Wrong kind of music isn't going to encourage you in times like that, but the right kind of music will. So remember that in the providence of God, He placed you in the storm. There are two kinds of storms. There's probably a lot of different kinds, but two kinds particularly that I think of tonight. There are correcting storms. You know, sometimes we're in the storm because we messed up. Ever been in one of those kinds of storms? And what's the best thing to do? Get right with the Lord. Amen. Make things right. Fix what you can. Ask God to fix what you can. There's correcting storms. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasing it. Sometimes God has to correct us. And then there's also perfecting storms. The perfecting storms is when God's building my character. He's developing me. He's maturing me. He's getting me ready, as I talked about this morning, for a greater task, for a greater job, for a greater situation that He has down the road. A greater giant, if you please, as we talked about Goliath this morning. And so there's perfecting storms and there is correcting storms. Dr. Barnhouse told the story about a pastor and his wife in the services one day. And he said the pastor's wife had just delivered a Down syndrome baby. And she didn't know it yet. And the pastor asked Dr. Barnhouse, how could he tell his wife that their baby was Down syndrome? And Dr. Barnhouse read for him a verse in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 11. When the Lord was speaking to Moses, you remember Moses was making his excuses about not going as the one to deliver the Israelites. And in Exodus 4:11 it says, "And the Lord said unto him, Who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" And he said, God has given you a special blessing in this Down syndrome baby that he's given to your family. And he went back to the hospital, and when he got to the hospital, his wife began to question him, and she said, why won't they let me see my baby? What is wrong? Why have I not seen the baby? And her husband quoted for her that verse in Exodus 4:11. The Lord said unto him, Who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? And he said, God has blessed us with a Down syndrome baby. He said, I do not know why, but God has given us a special blessing. And he said they wept together for a while and comforted each other. And later, his wife called her mother on the phone and told her that God had blessed them with a Down syndrome baby. There on the phone, the mom and the daughter shared some tears together, but there was no falling apart. There was peace in their heart that God had made this baby just the way He wanted it and had blessed them with this special baby. In those days, they had a switchboard, and all of the phone calls came through the switchboard. And the switchboard operator, who was an unsaved lady, was listening in onto the conversation because this lady that had was the pastor's wife was also a nurse in that hospital. And she was amazed at the way this mom responded. And she began to tell others about it. And the whole hospital soon was buzzed with the story of the pastor's wife, who was a nurse there, and how God had blessed their family with a Down syndrome baby. And the next Sunday, the pastor was back in the pulpit in his church. On the next Sunday morning, there were 70 nurses from that hospital that came to the services. And when the preacher gave the invitation, 30 of those nurses came forward and trusted Christ as their Savior. You see, God used a storm. And God, in His providence, put that pastor's wife right there where He wanted her to be. And He knew exactly where she was. Sometimes when we have storms, we think, you know, I must be out of God's will. I must be in the wrong place. I must be doing something wrong. No, that's not always the case. Many times, God in His providence has placed you there. Secondly, I want you to notice that God in His omnipresence knows where you are. God in His omnipresence knows where you are. Would you look at verse 23 with me? It says, "And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone." Now the Lord sent them, the disciples, to get on the ship. He sent the multitudes away. Keep your finger there and go over with me to Mark chapter 6. And the same story is given to us there in Mark chapter 6. And if you look at verse number 48 with me, Mark chapter 6 and verse 48. Verse 47 says, "When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land." Now here's what I want you to see, verse 48. "And he," what's the next two words? "Saw them." Jesus saw them. In His omnipresence, He knows where you are. "And He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by." I want you to notice that He saw them. In His omnipresence, in the middle of your darkest storm, there is never a time when God does not see you. He knows exactly where you are, and He knows exactly what you're going through. I remember years ago, I was back in high school in the late 60s. In the suburbs of Washington, D.C., where I lived at the time, we had Youth for Christ rallies. How many of you remember or ever went to any of those Youth for Christ rallies years ago? They used to have 8, 9, up to 1,000 or so people would come to those rallies from the churches in our greater Washington area. And I remember one night, and they had done it on a number of occasions, they showed a Billy Graham film. And I think it was called The Heart is a Rebel. I'm not sure of the title, but I think that's... But the thing that I've never forgotten about that film was at the end of the film, a black lady by the name of Ethel Waters sang the song, "His Eye is on the Sparrow." And when she got down to the end of that song, she changed the words and she said, "His eye is on the sparrow." And the song says, "And He's watching over you." And she changed it and she said, "And He's watching you birds too." And for some reason, that stuck in my mind all those years, that when I'm going through the storms of life, God's watching over me. His eyes on me. There's not a person here tonight who is a father or a mother. If you have a son or a daughter that is injured or ill and in the hospital, you know exactly what's going on with them, don't you? I remember years ago when our youngest daughter, Jessica, was in the hospital. She was in on two different occasions. Once she had bacterial spinal meningitis. And then she was back again not long after that when she had a pencil that had been stuck into her thumb and the lead lodged into the bone, and they had to do surgery and remove it. But I remember while she was in the hospital, either Vicky or me, one of us was with her all the time. She was about 18 months old or so. One of us was there all the time. But I remember a young boy being in that same area where we were. And he had a cleft palate. He had had surgery. They had had a house fire. And if I remember correctly, his mom had died in the fire. And there were 4 or 5 brothers and sisters. And the dad would come maybe for an hour or two in the evening. And that was all that he was there. Some days he didn't come at all. The little boy had surgery. They put his arms, these boards on his arms, and taped them down so that he couldn't bend his elbow because he would try to reach his mouth and scratch and pull. And so they had to tape those boards to keep his arms straight so he couldn't reach his mouth. And Vicky and I commented several times how that we were blessed that we were able to be there with Jessica the whole time. Watch over her. One of us was there 24/7. And sometimes this little boy would be crying for his mama who was gone, and for his dad who was not there. And I couldn't help but think, I'm so glad we could be with our daughter. But even more than that, just even more so than we were watching over her, our Heavenly Father watches over us all the time. He knows, He sees. God, in His omniscience, knows where you are. There's never a time that He does not see you. In His providence, He placed you there. In His omnipresence, or His omniscience, He knows where you are. Thirdly, in His omnipresence, He will show up. He will show up. Look back, if you would, with me at Matthew chapter 14 and verse 24 and 25. He says in verse 24, "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night," notice this, "Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." Jesus went unto them. In His omnipresence, He will show up. I remember years ago, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, and my dad used to have a book entitled, "Then Came Jesus." I don't know who wrote it, but I remember reading it as a teenager. It was in Dad's library. And the book, the whole thing, chapter after chapter, it would tell impossible stories and impossible situations. and how it was critical. And then at the end of the chapter, it would say, then came Jesus. And it would tell how the Lord solved the problem in their life. Here are the disciples. They're out on the ship. The storm is all around them. And then came Jesus. You can remember that in the midst of your darkest hour, in God in His omnipresence, He will show up. And the very thing that seemed to threaten them became the highway that brought Jesus to them. Because He walked on that same stormy sea that they feared. You see, problems, God oftentimes uses the problems to bring us closer to Him. And I believe many times God brings the problems because we allow ourselves to drift away from the Lord or to become complacent or self-sufficient. And God brings into our life things that cause us to become aware of the fact that we can't make it without God. We've got to have His help, and we cry out to the Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord. And we ask for His help in our life. Many times God brings the difficult times just to cause us to come spend some time talking with Him. He longs for our fellowship and for our presence with Him. And in the darkest hours, in His omnipresence, He will show up. Remember the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace? The king looked in and he said, did not we cast forth three men? And he said, lo, I see four. And he said, the fourth is likened to the Son of God. There in the fire, Jesus showed up. And He will show up in your storm if you'll look for Him. And He'll help you. In His omnipresence, He'll show up. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. You'll learn more in the valley than you'll ever learn on the mountain. And that's where you'll meet the lily of the valley. Because He will show up in the midst of your storm. And then, number four, in His omnipotence, His power will take care of you. God in His omnipotence, omni, all potent power, all powerful. God in His omnipotence will take care of you. Look at verse 25. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And that's when Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come unto Thee on the water. You know, we criticize Peter sometimes, and sometimes rightly so. Jesus had just said to them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And what did Peter say? If it is You. How many times have we doubted God? Even after He said, it is I. Even after He said, be of good cheer, be not afraid. And yet we still have the fear, don't we? Peter stepped out on the water and began to walk. And you know the story. As long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, he was fine. But when he looked at the waves and the storm, he began to sink. And that's when we begin to sink in our storm. When we get our eyes off of the One who can calm the sea and we look at the storm and the problems around us. There's always going to be some storms around us. But there's always the presence of the Lord who can calm those storms and who can help us through the storms. Jesus walked on the water. I jotted this down. Think about this. What you think is already over your head, God already has under His feet. What you think is already over your head, God already has it under His feet. Nothing ever gets over God's head, does it? He never gets in too deep. He's the omnipotent One, the all-powerful One, the almighty One. And whatever the difficulty and whatever the problem, whatever the storm that you may be going through, it may to somebody else seem like it's just a little insignificant thing, but to you it may be the greatest storm of your life. remember that God's power can take care of that storm and that problem in your life. There's a last thing I want you to notice, and that is this. In His love and mercy and grace, He promises to see you safely through the storm. In His love and mercy and grace, He promises to see you safely through the storm. Go back to verse 22 again, where we started tonight. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples," notice this, "to get into a ship." All right? Jesus commanded them. He constrained them. He pressed them. He insisted they get into the ship. But notice the rest of that. "And to go before Him," what's the next four words? "Unto the other side." You see, the same God that said, "Get in the ship," already told them they were going to get to the other side. And the same God that in His providence takes us into the storms of life that we face has already promised us that He's going to get us through to the other side. In His mercy and grace and love, He promised to see me safely through. He constrained them. Interesting verse in Isaiah chapter 54, if you want to turn back there with me for a moment. Notice verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10. Notice what the Lord said there. Isaiah 54 verse 10. He said, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed, but My kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of My peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." God says the mountains will depart, the hills removed, but My kindness shall not depart from thee. We have a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father who in His love and mercy and grace has promised to see us safely to the other side. Brother David Gibbs, who is a friend of mine and a friend of our church, tells a story about a church that he was preaching in some years ago in New York. They were having a big day in his church and in that church, and there were two men who were out on Saturday visiting for that big day, inviting folks to come and witnessing and so forth. And during the process of the day, those two men were in a tragic automobile accident and both of them were killed. Their wives were back at the church working to get things ready for the big day. And they got word of the accident that their husbands had been killed, and the church, of course, gathered around them, the people, and prayed with them and consoled them and comforted them. And they insisted that they be taken to the scene of the accident. And so finally, reluctantly, the pastor and others took them to the scene of the accident. When they got there, they saw the car that had been demolished. The broken glass, the crinkled metal. But in the front of the car, they saw one of the New Testaments of one of their husbands. And they reached in the car and got his New Testament out. And in the New Testament, there were the visitation cards that they had of people they were going to see. And those two ladies took those cards and made the rest of the visits for their husband and invited them to the big day at their church on the next day. Brother Gibbs said when he went to the service the next day to preach, he said 60 people came the next day that those two ladies had invited to the services. There were other visitors as well. And when he preached the message and gave the invitation, they had the two ladies come and they shared their story. And he said, those two ladies stood there and wept at the front of that church as 75 people came down the aisle and trusted Christ as their Savior in that service that morning. You see, God in His providence had put these ladies in a storm. But God in His love and in His mercy and in His grace brought them through the storm and blessed them and blessed that church and many others in an unbelievable way. We don't always know what the outcome's going to be. I remember, and some of you do too, a number of years ago when in our church, Rebecca Randall, 17-year-old young girl, fell asleep at the wheel and hit a tree and was killed in an accident. I remember going over to Connor High School for the visitation. I remember preaching that funeral service and giving an invitation, and 55 people came forward to trust Christ as their Savior at that funeral service. We don't always know what God's final plan is. I was at a store this week, and I was getting a part for my mower, and a truck pulled in beside me. Young man said, "Hi, Brother Tim." And I looked over, and I did not have a clue who it was. He said, "I'm Aaron Randall." It was Rebecca's brother. Hadn't seen him in years. They live out in the country and go to another church out there. God brought them through a storm through all those years. I'm just saying, the storms of life, God will see us through them. And the same God that constrained them to get into the ship was the same God in His love and mercy that got them safely to the other side. And He'll get you and me to the other side as well. Heavenly Father, I do not know what the storms of life are for each person here tonight. I don't know what storms everyone has been through. I know we've all been through some. I don't know what storms are out ahead for us. I do know that as You allow time to pass and as we look and wait and serve and head toward the day when the trumpet sounds and we're caught up together to be with You, I know there'll be storms. But I thank You for a great and wonderful and loving Heavenly Father who in His providence, in omniscience, in omnipotence, in love and mercy and grace, will not only take us into the storm, but bring us safely through. May we learn as Peter did to keep our eyes on Jesus and to trust You in the darkest hours. Just as the three Hebrew children, we know that You'll show up. And You'll see us through. Help us to look to You and to lean on You. Help us to learn from the storms, not to waste them, not to become bitter and angry and upset, but may we trust You completely. For we ask it in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.